Hello, Daddy.
Matt and Alex.
Hello.
That is not my dad.
On Triple J.
Need to pop it in the fridgey.
I think we do, but we're recording a podcast, So we better not.
I was thinking about popping it in the fridgey just for a little Friday.
Friday
cheeky
session.
Post-fry session.
Well, you'll be hearing Adam Spencer in this podcast, our former host of Triple J Breakfast. Author now, got a new book. Very funny stories from that. And he brought in, because he's the nicest dude ever, a champagne for us. So that was good. And Matt's just going, maybe we should pop it down in the little chiller, mate.
Pop it into the fridge for next week's last show.
No, it'll have to be after the show, I think, because...
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Oh,
I was thinking, you know, as soon as it hits 9.
Right.
Pop, pop.
The bubble's coming out.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go. It could be a little bit early. But thank you very much for downloading this podcast. I reckon it's a goodie.
Yeah, it's a really great one. You're going to have so much fun with this. We say goodbye to my dad after reviewing albums for the last 3 years, his last time on Triple J. We would have to assume, unless he got the... text line fever is going to start dialing us up 24/7.
Well, I'm sure he could be the correspondent for all things dentistry. I mean, the audience know him. Ben and Liam could give him a call and ask about oral health and hygiene.
Yeah. He could be the next, you know, dental Dr. Carl.
Anything about news from Ghana? We could talk about him originally from there.
Well, I was telling him about the election that's going on there. He had no idea. I wonder what happened with the Ghanaian election.
Yeah, we did. We better look that up.
It was today, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was the Ghanaian election today.
As in, it would probably be
scheduled for the 7th of November. No, it would be held on the 7th of December. It's probably happening right now.
How about that? All right. Well, we'll give you an update on that on the show tomorrow. But until then, enjoy what is a great podcast, mainly due to how weird people are.
Yeah. We thank you for just putting your guard down and diving in.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye, Ferreira.
24 hours on Triple J.
I think that was the very first album that my dad reviewed.
Potentially, yeah.
I reckon it was back in 2014, and he gave it the old foursies.
Oh.
Sky. I mean, not many people afforded that kind of leniency.
No.
From the parentals.
From the Daddy Mac. Pretty ruthless as a mud crab with a knife at times. And he's going to be giving you top five and bottom five songs of the year is the plan.
No, I don't think bottom five.
He doesn't have
it worse. I've just got word through. I think it'll just be top five.
What about one bad one?
No, he doesn't want to single anyone out.
That's the idea of getting dads on the radio.
What's your worst song of the year?
Worst song of the year? I probably have got one. I probably do have one.
You know what? Stop clouding me with your negativity. All right? It's too much.
All right. Well, let's get to something positive. Code of Conduct. Sally, Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us here in the Gangster Den. That we like
yeah.
To...
Is that what we're calling it now, boys?
No, we're not calling it.
Or just when we're in here.
Well, we call it the Breakfast Posse Crew.
No.
Oh,
no, we don't.
Cool, guys.
The BPC. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Code of Conduct, one of Canberra's greatest hip-hop duos. And we're looking forward to finding out what...
Oh. I want to know first up, how was spilt milk?
Oh, yeah.
Spilt milk was crazy.
Milk was spilt, son. It was pretty hectic.
Yeah, it was mad. It was a huge lineup.
Wasn't it?
Was their first year. They had the Hermitude. They had a Vince Staples, a Flume.
And guys, there were baby geese walking around.
Yeah.
Wait, were there
a blue peeking duck?
Did the organisers bring the geese or they just happened to be near the
They may have been planted. The geese may have been planted to
a
piece.
So cute.
So did they keep the milk in the fridge or was it going off?
It was going off.
I like it.
Great. How was your set?
It was great, except the gates opened the same time our set started.
They bloody did that at Splendor as well. And they're like, start the set. And you're like, there's literally no one in front of the stage.
There's lots of people. They're just stuck behind a gate for no reason.
And the thing is, people were on before us. So there were people. Oh! Yeah, I know. There were people who thought that they were going to play and get a crowd, and there was just no one.
That's truly bizarre.
Yeah, it was sort yourselves
but
out.
But then by the time, you know, I've heard a lot of repeats from Peking Duck that they were going off. Did you stick around for the whole night?
We saw 90% of it. I think after Hermitude, I just died of exhaustion.
You collapsed, yeah.
I was like, I opted out of Flume because I saw him at Splendor and I was flummed out, can I tell you?
Done.
I had a good time.
Awesome. Well, okay, let's chat about Chance the Rapper.
Yes.
What's Chancey up to?
Everything.
Chance, what isn't he up to is the question.
It's the year of the Chance. He most recently got nominated for 7 Grammys.
Wow.
Well, there was a little controversy around it because he released his, wasn't it, mixtape or something for free?
Yeah.
And it was like, can you even be nominated if you do that?
Yeah, it's the first streamed-only artist to be nominated for a Grammy.
And on an independent label as well.
Well, he doesn't have a label. He's like, no label. He's just him. So, well, I mean, he's his label.
He's changing the game, though. Like, yeah. I mean, he's basically changed the rules for the Grammys.
Yeah,
right?
So it's pretty amazing. He's killing it there. He's also killing it at the White House.
He's bros with Barack Obama. Apparently they go way back to when Chance was 8. Their dads knew each other or something.
Really?
What? Yeah. Yep. Obama asked Chance along to sing carols with him at the White House, as you do when you Chance the Rapper.
Yep. Sasha Obama was singing along to Chance the Rapper's lyrics when he was doing a little performance at the White House.
Number
it's all
one
very
fan.
Adorable.
Yep. Mama, you know it's going to rain. Father, you know.
Rain now.
Promise you said it would rain. Finally, I'm home. You left on the light when I left on the flight, but I made it all right. I've been waiting all week. I've been waiting all night.
Sounding good.
Private performance for Mr. Obama and the family. And what else has he been doing?
All sorts.
He's been making weird noises. I think that was the main thing about Chance when he first popped into the scene, his weird noises.
All right. So, he does. He does a lot of the...
It's like a dying bird.
He does it in Ultra Light Beams. He's got a good run where he's like, I'm Jeff Furman.
All right, let's go through a bit of the palette. It's almost a Chance the Rapper noise advent calendar.
Ooh.
A smorgasbord,
exactly.
If you will.
Quack.
Oh, there we go. What's that? Was it?
Quack.
What was that one?
I don't know.
That was an interesting one. I'll hear that again.
Oh God, what is happening there?
Well, I mean, he's continuing the trend that he is making the voice a featured instrument in songs. So it's happening in EDM music, we've noticed, and I guess the rapper's throwing it all over the place now.
I love it, though, because everyone makes weird noises at times, right? Sally itches her throat a lot. Yeah. I don't think she realizes it makes a noise,
apparently,
but it's
pretty
gross.
A really weird noise. I get hay fever. And
is
I
it
get
these
like
ones?
It's kind of like that, but more guttural. Like it's coming from deeper.
Well, what is it? What's
is
your noise?
Is that what I sound like? I can't hear it.
It is like that, Sally.
Give it a go.
No.
I feel like we heard just the edge of it there.
Well, we were chatting to Childish Gambino yesterday about his album, and he was saying thought there was a few vocal effects. He's like, no, I just use my voice as the noise he gave us.
I do not believe that came from
his
mouth.
I know, right?
I do not believe
he's sitting
it.
There with a FPC in bed or something, just whacking that.
Yeah. On the phone, like, lol.
These suckers in Australia.
All right, let's have some Kid Cudi right now, featuring Pharrell. This is Surfin', Matt, Alex, and Sally and Erica from Code
what
Conduct
weird
joining you.
What noises do you make?
Yeah, give us a call.
Give us a call. We want to hear them. Weird noises that you make for whatever reason.
With your own body. That's our proviso on that. Send us a text 0439757555. Or give us a ring 1300 055536.
That's Kid Cudi. Features Pharrell Williams, a track called Surfin'. For your Thursday morning. Kid Cudi, no stranger to Kanye West either. Both have, you know, worked with each other plenty in the past. Matt and Alex with you. We're just still joined by Code of Conduct, but how do we feel about Pablo being shunned for Album of the Year?
Oh, it's controversial. It's very controversial.
Would you have given it? Would you have given it Album of the Year?
I didn't like the album that much.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Look, I am a big Kanye fan. I won't lie about that. I know some people would lie about that. I'm not gonna. I think Twisted Fantasy was one of my favorite albums, but Pablo just didn't do it for me.
Very cool. Only 5. Hip hop albums you can
well Views got up there as one of the albums of the year. I And I love Drake.
Views wasn't that good either.
Well, if I had to compare the more, you know, the unique, like, which album was actually a step forward in music making, I would say Kanye for sure.
He got nom for Song of the Year, though. Ultralight Beam is on the list.
It is, and it deserves to be there. Yeah. I'll tell you what a tune. It features Chance the Rapper.
There you go.
And we're talking Chance here because he likes a little mouth noise when putting together a song, for example. Also. And. So
it sounds like he's walked into a flock of birds.
Well, this sounds kind of, this one, I believe, kind of sounds like the starting noise from the Round the Twist theme song.
Oh.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I see that. What a bit.
You reckon? That's really good. Well done.
Yeah. I was going to say, you just play that out.
Yeah, you can't
half play the Round the Twist theme.
All right, well, did you guys perform your Round the Twist remix at Spilt Milk?
Not this time. We haven't. We're saving it. We're going to do an even better remix. That's our plan.
Okay, big call.
Excellent. Well, let's get through a few listeners' noises. You can make, Australia's pretty good at making noises themselves. Good morning to you, Ebi from Sydney.
How you going?
Good, man. Noise, mouth noise.
I can do Predator.
Okay. How often do you pull out Predator, by the way?
Every time I go to the movies, when it, just as it goes on before the movie starts, I pull it out. It's not that loud, but you can just hear it.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay, let's just imagine we're all sitting in the cinema.
About to watch Love, actually.
Yeah, and we've got the popcorn in our laps and the lights just go down.
Oh. No,
it wasn't a good one. Give me 1 sec. Give me 1 sec.
All right, what are you going to have, a drink of water or something? Okay, go for it.
No, it's juice. Juice helps so long. Just a second.
Oh.
And
how often do you crawl through the aisles of the cinema while it's on?
No. All right. I didn't go that far.
Thanks, Evie. Tyler from Paran, give us your voice noise. Thank you, Tyler, from Blair. We'll leave you there. Hayden from Hazelbrook, voice noise.
Okay, I've got a dog bark for you, boys.
All right, a lot of people think they can do a dog bark, so you're going to be comparing yourself to 30 million people around Australia.
But okay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, look. Yeah. I mean, how, like, do dogs respond when you do that?
I have had dogs respond, but the favourite target is people on public trains.
Oh, you're one of those guys. Okay, thank you very
That's
much.
That's a kind of guy? What?
Hayden, Jake from Healesville, good morning to you. Voice noise.
How you going, boys? I've got the annoying alarm, usually on a Sunday morning when everyone's hungover.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, hey, Jake.
It finishes so abruptly.
What a boyfriend you must be, just waking up on a Saturday with that in your ear.
Thanks very much, Jake. Bye. And thank you, Coda Conda.
What have we started? Yeah.
For helping us create just radio magic there. Appreciate it. We'll catch you soon.
Thank you.
There's some
you.
Jack
Goodbye.
River now. And the track, Palo Alto.
Still to come. We're going to chat to Adam Spencer after the news. He's got a brand new book out. Also, my dad's reviewing his favourite top songs of 2016. Chandeliers and cigarettes. On Triple J, SOS in Bel Air. Which always gets me thinking of the Fresh Prince. Phoenix is the artist behind that. The Smith Street Band, the first track you heard, Death to the Lads, one that I'm liking more and more as I hear it. Hope you are doing swell. It's Thursday morning. I'm sitting opposite Alex Dyson. My name's Matt.
And in the studio with us is a gentleman who was sitting in the studio for many years, has since gone on to be radio host in other areas. He's an author as well, all-around good bloke. Adam Spencer, morning to you.
How are we, gentlemen?
Pretty good, thanks.
AFL fanatic also.
Yeah, don't mind a bit of that, but I've got some very exciting news today. I can tell you guys that your official application for membership to the Triple J former breakfast announcers, old bastards, get out here, what would you know anyway, club is proceeding at pace. I'm president of the club. Mikey Robbins is treasurer. Helen Razor comes along to the crazy occasional meeting, and that's a bit of fun, but you're looking very good.
Oh, great. You're
going to be rushed through.
Well, you very kindly brought in a little champagne for us because we are finishing up at the end of the day. Next week's our last week, which is pretty good. What are the perks of the club? What does my membership card get me?
It's fantastic. You can still walk into the ABC for a couple of weeks and people vaguely recognise each other. And then the first time you have to come in and ask for a visitor's pass down to the front desk, you realise, okay, that's my legacy. There you go.
Well, there's plenty of life after the ABC. You've been, dedicating a lot of time writing books. All usually are revolving around numbers. This one revolving around time?
Yes, my latest book, Time Machine. It goes back 10,000 plus years to the earliest recorded device we've ever found that people used for any purpose. It's a baboon's fibula, a bone, with scratches on the side of it, and we think it's a calendar or charted female fertility or something like that, right?
That's the
first ever scientific device, and it finishes.
Was it used by the baboon or was it used by humans?
We don't have, being 10,000 plus years ago, Matt, that's a very good question. We don't have any documented evidence. We assume humans killed the baboon and carved the fibula, or perhaps the baboon was going, I'm just missing appointments all the time. I don't have a calendar. They haven't invented an Apple Watch yet, so I'm just going to rip out my own fibula. And oh, jeez, that hurt.
While
I'm here, may as well carve into the side of it.
Louis McCurdy has a to-do list tattooed onto his thigh.
Really?
So
that's handy.
I mean, that makes perfect sense to me that the baboon did the same thing.
So like the Guy Pearce Memento film.
Pretty much.
Is it written upside down so he can raise his own leg and read it?
And it's just got blank lines so you can write with pen and then it comes out. It doesn't have the same thing.
Yeah,
every
it
day.
Wasn't just the one thing that he needed to do in 2013.
Yeah, I thought he'd like shopping, toiletries.
Well, it can, but it's there to be written.
Call mum. And I finished the book with, from earlier this year, get this, a single mathematical proof that took a supercomputer 200 terabytes of information to get through. So a single mathematical proof that if you sat down and tried to read would take 10 billion years for a human to read. And it's a single mathematical. I'd love it. That would be the most enjoyable 10 billion years of my life.
What was the answer?
It's to do with your Pythagorean triangles from high school. 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared. And the computer showed that we can't do what we wondered if we could do or not. But it took 200 terabytes of information to prove it.
Is it too complicated to explain?
I would, but you're so close to finishing your year. You don't need this.
So far,
don't open the box.
So far on the show we've had today, what funny noise can you make with your mouth?
I like that.
so to get into these Pythagorean theorems.
Let's jump from that to number theory. Give us a call.
We need one in between. All right, well, feel free to get in touch with the program with your own mathematical truths, but also anything from Adam Spencer's time, maybe play a bit of a highlight from Triple J. We also want to ask you about a story that you told about medieval maths.
Yes.
Which I found quite incredible. So that's all coming up after some K-Tronada. A song called Together.
Matt. This is a Luna George and Goldlink.
Alex, Adam, Triple J. It's hard to let it go. It's gone away and never Triple J, that is K-Tronada with Together. Thank you very much for joining us here on Triple J Breakfast. I'm Alex, that's Matt, and in the studio with us, Adam Spencer. Good morning to you again.
How are we, gents? One thing you will get as honorary membership of the soon-to-be former Breakfast Announcers Club at Triple J is you'll have a lovely period of about 6 months in your life where your body clock is completely shot. You think this is great, I'm going to have a couple of good sleeps, and you'll get a couple of decent nights sleep in a row. You'll try for a third decent night's sleep in a row, and you will find yourself sitting bolt upright at about 2:30 in the morning with your body clock going, should not be feeling this good, must have missed my alarm, wake up, adrenaline shot, and you will seriously find yourself walking around the house at 3 going, well, I'm up.
No.
There's no chance, and you'll either get like incredibly productive amounts of work done. You'll get a day's amount of work before sunrise because you are just up and ready to go, or you will just be...
laying there seething all morning.
Well, you did used to take up positions here at Triple J Breakfast. We have a lot of questions coming in about your time here. I do want to hear about this medieval job.
Okay, one of the things I run through on my new book, Time Machine. That's Adam Spencer's Time Machine, available at adamspencer.com.au. You're not meant to mention websites, but you guys are out of here, so who cares? I look at maths and history and science tonight, but I also just look at weird things we've done, and I found a job back in the Middle Ages that I think is the weirdest job anyone ever had. If you're the King of England back in medieval times and you're out in a forest hunting and you've got to go, you don't just nick off behind a tree. You're the King of England. So you click your fingers and the guy whose job it was to carry around your portable toilet stool and modesty curtain will assemble the king's toilet stool and the king will do the king's business. The job was called the groom of the stool. Now, get this. This is all true, right? It's not the prettiest job. But get this, you had 5 minutes alone, one-on-one with the King of England two or three times a day when he was at his most vulnerable.
Of course.
It was a remarkably influential position. While Henry VIII's there doing his stuff, you can lean over and go, well, look, Your Majesty, if you don't really love her, why don't you just cut her head off, let's form our own church, and we'll go and invade the French while we're at it. It was that everyone wanted to be the groom of the stool because of the political influence you had because you carried around the King's portable dunny. Best job ever, groom of the stool. You guys should get it's yourselves like, one.
You are married to the stool.
I've been Alex's groom of the stool for the last 3 years.
And thank you very much for your service. That is quite a weird job, but also a weird job is when you get to produce songs like this.
Oh!
Yeah, this one right here goes out to Matty Hayden. Mama. Mama's mama. Mama's mama's mama.
I think this is one of
VVS Laxman and VVVS Laxman and VVVS SSS.
Oh, yes.
This is probably one of my first... memories of listening to Triple J in my bedroom in Warrnambool. The Hottest 100 was on, and the number one song, this is it, I'm Sorry Matt Hated by Adam Spencer and Will Anderson.
Sorry, Matt Hated, you are for real. Never meant to say that you were crap. Apologize, saying you could never bat. Sorry, Matt Hated.
Now, what was the inspiration for writing this
clearly
song
in the
again?
Day before auto-tune, but we used to love our cricket. And Australia were about to tour India, and they picked Matt Hayden as the opening batsman. And he hadn't gone great. And we were saying, how could they pick Matt Hayden? And Will used the line, they'd be better opening the batting with a bucket of sand because at least the Indians would have to hit the stumps and the bucket of sand wouldn't just hold his bat outside giving the slips batting practice. Australia goes to India. They lose the test series, but Matt Hayden scores 180 in the first test, 160 not out in the second. Single-handedly almost drags our nation across the line. So to the tune of Outcasts, sorry,
we
wrote a song going, sorry, Matt, turns out you went all right.
I think you're better than Tendulkar.
Tendulkar, Oka?
Oka? We always have, Matty. We think you're right. We've loved you. Never seen a bad word about you, man. Bring it on.
So that was very good. A few more people, other people getting in touch about a prank that you pulled on Australia, which is... single-handedly ruined April Fool's Day for myself and Matt because whenever a prank comes around, you want to do something better. And Adam and Will on Triple J Breakfast doing one of the greatest of all time. It was about a year out from the Sydney Olympics.
It was 1999, and the Sydney Olympics were coming up, and there was all this sort of talk about the Olympics. It was back when the Olympics was starting, the whole voting process was starting to get a little bit on the nose, as it's since been revealed to be. So we ran this joke that Sydney overnight, in an emergency meeting of the IOC, had been stripped of the right to host the Olympics. We had a mate of mine, Rob Carlton, the actor, pretending to be Carlton Roberts from Lucerne, Switzerland, reporting that, blah, blah. And the spin out of the gag was, you go to the Olympic protocol and what happens is they'll offer it to any other nations who were part of the last bid. None of them are ready. None of them can do it. Then it goes to any former Olympic hosting nation or city who thinks they can do it. And the rumour at the moment is Melbourne are putting their hands up because they've got the MCG and all this sort of stuff.
Well, the French were in the mix. This is what they had to say at the time.
Effective immediately, the IOC has resolved that Sydney be stripped of the right to host the Olympic Games in the year 2000.
All right, who's that French person? Is that a genuine Parisian?
It was a genuine French dude who was a bit nervous about the whole, didn't quite understand. He probably overplayed the accent slightly. That was when some people started to see through it all. But we got, what was great, we got New South Wales Premier at the time, Bob Carr. My producer had a number for him, and we rang him, told him for about 3 seconds as he was running out the door, we're pretending we've lost him. He goes, yeah, okay, I've got this, don't worry. And Bob Carr steps up and hits it out of the park.
We've just got to remember in these
in these difficult times that the Olympics never were presented as everything. I just say, ask people to retain their sense of balance about this. And again, the Olympics aren't the key to the state's economic future. Only $1 in every 300 being invested in the state at the present time has been related to the Olympics.
That is just
I cannot
perfect.
Believe you did that.
Honest, but
that
he honestly had 3 seconds. We're pretending we've lost the Olympics. Yeah, don't worry, I've got this. And I said, but what about the reports that Melbourne might get the Olympics? And Bob Carr said, it's never been Sydney Olympics, Adam. It's Australia's Olympics.
Oh, man.
And if it's held by any other city, as long as it's held in this great country, I, for one, will be proud. And people are ringing and going, oh, my God, it's
Well, look, if you can ever possibly beat that yeah. April Fool's, good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck honestly. To Ben and Liam for next year. Yeah, April 1st.
We could
ready.
Never do it. We would
Mike
never
Baird, if you're listening.
Come oh, close. Yes,
Daniel indeed. Andrews, get him, join the party. Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Thank you very much, Adam Spencer, for dropping by this morning. We're not sure what we're doing next year, me and Matt, but hopefully be a groom of the stool or something if anyone needs one.
I will see you at the meetings, but without making you feel hopelessly self-conscious. I had a great sense when I was lucky enough to take this thing over that you don't. It's not your job that you own forever. You're lucky enough to sit in the chair or stand in the comfortable standing position as Alex does, and then you pass it on to someone else. And your time here has been exemplary. And it's a tremendous Australian institution, this place, but only because it manages to stumble across great and unique talents like yours occasionally. It's been wonderful to listen to.
Adam, you're a champion, man.
And
thank
that
you
website
so
again, adamspencer.com.au. That's adamspencer.com.au for signed copies
so
of
much.
Time Machine. Well done, guys.
Thanks,
great play.
I really appreciate it.
Here's Little Rubens now and their track Hoots. Ruby Jonesy next with some news headlines.
We're Matt and Alex. You're on Triple J. Let's stay.
On Triple J, the Chemical Brothers with Galvanize, getting you pumped for a Thursday morning. Yes, your crumb dogs, push the button. Thank you very much for that text. Couple of Stixo certified tuners there, boys. Thank you very much. Pack her up. Day finished now. It's been galvanized. Thank you, Jace, as well. Before it, we kick things off with the XX and On Hold.
And we're getting ready to start counting our favourite songs of the year as we look ahead to the Hottest 100. And just getting reminded before, it's not just this year. They are included from December last year as well. So you got to click the calendar back even a further month just so you don't forget about those ones there.
Exactly right, Matt O'Kind. The Laika version from Earth Boy, Eligible.
Eligible.
Didn't happen in December. So,
Eligible. So there you go.
What do we know? Jump on the triplej.net.au to find out more about it. Matt and Alex are with you. And at this time, every Thursday for the past 3 years, every fortnight, we've had this gentleman join us, which means given out next week is our last week, it'll be his final occasion. It's a very good morning to Matt O'Kine's father, Mac O'Kine. Daddy Mac, good morning.
Well, good morning, Alex. How are you?
So well, mate. It was so good to see you last week at our
Dad.
Rave.
Yeah. You raved, mate.
What?
You raved last week.
Yeah, it was great, actually, to be there.
Yeah, you jumped up on stage. You're a bit nervous.
No, I wasn't really nervous.
Oh, go no. on, mate.
You maybe I was pretending.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're not that good at acting.
I wasn't.
I'm the one who went to drama school, mate, not you. Yeah. You couldn't act nervous like that. You were nervous. There's about 800 people there all screaming your name.
Yeah, yep. I heard someone, because Matt asked you, Mac, what rating you'd give the rave. And you gave a very good pause in there, got the anticipation going.
I rated it based on the reception of the crowd, you know, the way they were dancing to the music, you know. They were very happy and they liked the beat and everything. So, I mean, of course, it was quite a good band.
And during the pause, I saw one guy at the front, whilst you were just waiting to say it, goes, Matt's dad, Mac O'Kine, give this week's rave. But you gave it 4.5 back. What about the fiver?
He's a hard judge. I mean, the man used to run an African nightclub. He knows how to partay. Yeah. All right. Let's just say the ones in the 2000s aren't as wild as the 89s, 90s.
I tell you what, Club Afro Carib would have been hitting that 6-star rating, I reckon, Mac O'Kine.
Hey, thanks very much for helping us out of the last 3 years as well, Dad. We really appreciate your insight.
And I really want to thank your listeners for being patient with me.
Oh, that's nice. Dad.
All this time, I mean, it was very good and pleasant to be relating with them.
Oh, I saw you getting a few photographs, mate.
Yes, I did.
At the party.
It was quite good.
You have a good few fans there, Mac.
Mm-hmm. Well, you maybe start your own little tour. Five reggae's and five dede's. <Yeah. laughs> Hey, mate, we're here to talk about your top and worst album songs of the year, so let's get started.
Let's go with bottom first. Let's get the bad out of the way. Any particular songs you didn't really like from this year?
I'm starting from the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go from the bottom.
Okay. Pika, which is instrumental with no meaningful rhythm. And
Flume, copping the first bad mark from Dad, okay.
I tell you what, a few grabby noms mean nothing when Mako Kai says instrumental goes nowhere.
Goodness. Well, there might be some people who disagree with you on this one.
A minute 54 worth there, Mac.
All right, so what's the next one?
Well, can I say the word?
Oh, is it it's the F word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What? You want to say the F word,
no,
Mac?
Don't say it, Dad. You bring the damn family into disrepute.
No, I think there will be some families listening to it.
So. Okay, yes, yeah, you better not. But Wall F word is the name of the song, also by Flume.
Oh, goodness.
Yep. Oh, I quite like this song. Oh, yes. Anyways, okay, all number three worst song. Third worst song.
Number three is Helix.
Helix by Flip. Oh!
Flume again.
Flume better have some padded shorts because he's copping a little bit of
I know. I know a lot of people like Flume, but...
All right. Switch it up.
Talk
now.
About cutting through the hype. I'm going to see Flume this week, Mac. You're making me change my mind.
Okay. You're still there.
Yep, we're still here.
Then,
okay.
Number two is Outsiders.
By?
It needs language warning.
Oh, okay. Who's Outsiders by? Is that Remy?
Remy's Outsiders.
Okay, fair call.
Okay, not as good from Mac O'Kine. The rest of the rap pack, plotting how to take over the globe and make the people go. All right, okay. No good. What about your number one worst song of 2016, Mac?
Say, it's a filler from Remy.
Remy, jeez. You really took aim at a couple of people here, Dad. You went right, you had the whole buffet and you just went straight in.
You would have hated Splendor when Remy got up with Flume to do a special performance of Lose It. I tell you what. All right, well, let's play a song here that we would normally be reviewing. It's from Childish Gambino. Terrified is the name of it.
The Daddy Mac's favourite songs of 2016 up next. We might also look back at some of our favourite moments. We're Matt Nalix on Triple J. So our feature album this week. From Childish Gambino, it's called Terrified. It's off an album called Awaken My Love, a departure from the usual rap that we've expected from Childish Gambino over the last 8 or so years.
Unfortunately, we'll never find out if it's any good or not because it's not being reviewed this week by Mac O'Kine, Matt's dad. Instead, with Hottest 100 voting open on Monday, we're going to be getting into his top and bottom 5 songs of the year. The bottom 5 has been done. Flume and Remy copping a pasting.
An absolute bloodbath there.
But we're on to the positive side of things now. Mac O'Kine, hello again.
Hello, how are you going?
Good,
really
good.
Really excited to hear your top 5 songs. Before we do, we better just sum up how your time's been reviewing albums. I mean, you've been a dentist in the past. You've worked at Club Afro Carib as well with the African Caribbean dance nights and stuff. How have you found being an album reviewer?
Oh, I think it's very and entertaining and interesting.
Yeah, you've had the opportunity.
I have the chance to be able to express my views on the albums and things like that.
You've also been able to listen to, you know, great music from around the world and even fall asleep to some of it, like Lana Del Rey's album, you know? So, I mean, it's been really, really great stuff.
And we've learned a lot, not only about Matt Mac O'Kine's musical tastes, but also his hobbies. And we've got a few magical Mac moments that we'd like to share with you. Are you ready to go down memory lane, Mac?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going very well. We are going to the red light district.
Oh. Oh, you naughty boy.
For the night.
Oh, Mac.
Oh, Mac.
Okay. What are you doing with mud crabs, Mac?
Make sure they are A grade.
Are you for real?
Yeah, you have to look for A grade. My chicken a little bit weird. They've been having sex with each other. One of them just pecked me in the eye. No, actually, it's very serious. My eyes are very sore. Oh, just keep on living.
Oh, Mac, so, so good. How is your eye these days?
Dad?
Yeah?
How's your eye? Is the chicken being a bit kinder to you?
Yeah, actually, guess what? I was nearly snapped by a snake yesterday.
You didn't even get to the mud crab with a knife. We couldn't find it.
What's the animal kingdom got against you, mate?
I went to pick my eggs.
Yeah.
And there was a big snake in it, and it just snapped. It nearly got my fingers.
Oh, jeez.
But it's not the chicken.
Did you catch it?
That was yesterday.
Oh, man. Yeah. So did you catch it or what? What happened?
Oh, I got my next neighbor Ray to come in.
Good.
Pick it up from there. Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, we better get into your top five songs of the year, Mac O'Kine. Number five.
Number five is Montaigne, Because I Love You.
Yeah, you quite like this album as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, number four.
It's Illy. Cash 22.
That's a nice one. Bit of Aussie hip hop in there for you as well. Number three.
Number three is by Big Scary, Lone Bird. One. I like the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, okay. A little bit of hidden funk in this one as well. Good
Definitely.
Bounce to it.
Number two.
Number two is Big Scary again, Organism.
There we go. To round it out, your favorite song of the year, Dad.
It's Jezebel's My Love Is My Disease.
Oh, sensational.
Dad, thank you so much for joining us on our show for the last 3 years. It's been so awesome. We used to listen to Triple J every morning when we were driving to school.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on it.
Yeah. Okay. But, I think Jezebel's My Love Is My Disease.
All right, fine. I was trying to get all sentimental. You just didn't care. All right, bye, mate. I'll talk to you over Christmas. I'll see you soon.
Okay, see you.
Thank you so much, Mac. Really appreciate all the work that you do to get these album reviews every fortnight. Let's have some Jezebel's. Mac O'Kine's favourite song of the year. You're on Triple J.
Bye, Dad. Breeze Blocks by Al J, which is a great track from 2012. Came in number three in the Hottest 100. It is getting close to that time. Oh, it's getting close indeed. Hope you have been making a list and checking it thrice.
Monday, voting opens, so get ready. Mac O'Kine's already ready. He picked Illy, the song you heard before, Catch 22, as one of his top songs of the year. Matt and Alex are here with you, and given next week's our final week on air, Mac O'Kine, we're trying to fit in a few highlights, a few classic hits, and I want to do something right now, which I think we did maybe 5 years ago, okay? This is even before you started on The Breakfast Show.
Yeah, absolutely it was. For anyone who's only recently started listening, Alex and I have only hosted for the last 3 years. Alex Dyson was with Tom Ballard before that, for 4 years before that.
It'll be popping by before the end of the year, mark my words. But it gives us an opportunity to think about some of the best moments from the shows. And this is a talkback topic that I really want to do again because at the time, I remember it was great, but we only got like two examples of the actual answer. It is the topic, what voice do you talk to your pets in?
All right.
Because I went home to visit my family home and my cat was there and her name was Poo Poo and I went, oh, Poo Poo, oh, you little runty, what are you doing here, Poo Poo? Where are you? And I thought, wow, that's embarrassing. I'm a grown man.
Right.
But we asked you what voice do you talk to your pets in. We got plenty of responses. And one of them was a gentleman who called up. He'd just gotten out of the shower. He was listening in the shower, gotten out. So he was standing in the nude whilst talking to us next to his small sausage dog, whose name was Schnitzel.
Okay.
And so we asked him, oh, you know, what voice do you talk to your pets in? And this is how he talked to Schnitzel.
Okay, here we go. Standing in the nude. Oh, Schnitzy. Excuse me, Schnitzy. You're a very naughty girl. Have you had Bucky? Oh, Schnitz.
And there's endless variations. Have you?
Someone's already texted in. You're a very naughty girl. They must have known.
Oh man,
already.
That was so entertaining. But then we had to like news or something. We couldn't keep doing it. So I want to ask you right now to give us a ring 1-300-555-36. What voice do you talk to your pet in, Matt O'Kine?
Well, see, I'm friends with a dog whisperer, and she told me that dogs can always understand you. So there's no need to talk to them in any particular way. I just simply just talk to them like they are a peer. I do.
So what would you say?
I literally just talk to them and I'd say, look, I don't know why you're barking at me. I'm sorry if I've offended you, but we're on okay terms. So I'm really boring with this. I'm really sorry, but I treat dogs like humans that I don't like.
Oh, well, I treat the poo-poo like she is. She's very, very nice. So if you have a pet voice that you use, 1-300-555-36, give us a call. Here's some Milky Chance now.
Stay to you.
Matt and Alex joining you this morning for a Triple J breakfast. Doing a talk back from a couple of years ago that I wish I had gotten to before the end of our time here, our tenure at Triple J. I wanted to hear from more of you about the issues of what voice do you talk to your pet in?
Because what's the way you talk to your cat? Poo-poo?
Poo-poo. The late, great Poo-poo.
Poo-poo, where are you? What's you doing today?
Yeah, it went a little bit like that. It's a bit embarrassing.
And
people
sure
are saying, like, yeah, you do it in public sometimes, accidentally, or your friends come around or you do it. Oh.
So, I mean, why that particular – where else have you used that voice? How did that evolve like that?
That's the thing with pet voices, Matt. They just come out of nowhere.
Is it because you started getting good results talking to Poo-poo like that and all of a sudden
–
you realise you're on the same terms?
Well, it just happens out of nowhere. Emily from Melbourne texted, Jamaican. I say to him, who's my little baby boy? The dog's name is Rattus, a true rat dog. So thank you, Emily, for that one. We've also got a few calls. Nicole is joining us this morning from Alexandria. Nicole, what voice do you talk to your pet in?
So when I come home from work every day, I walk in the door and I say to him, oh, who's a super fluffy white guy with a black snout? And you know...
What accent is that?
But the thing is, he, if I don't talk in that voice, he knows I'm not talking to him. And it's just caught on. I do it to every dog I see. And people, my family does it to dogs and babies. So,
okay, so
it's caught on, yeah.
If you saw, a big Alaskan Malamute walking along the street, you cross the road to pat it, what would you say to it?
I'd say, what a super handsome, fluffy, big guy.
Thank you, Nicole. Michael from Bellevue Hill. What voice do you talk to your pet in?
G'day, Michael.
Hey, I'm going to miss you guys.
Oh, thanks.
I'm one of your older demographics as well.
Oh, all right. Well, I think you're very qualified. You might have heard the first time we talked about this and we learned about the dog Schnitzy, which was fantastic. But what voice do you talk to your dog in?
It's Tibetan throat singing.
Okay, wait, yeah, are you experienced in Tibetan throat singing?
Yeah, you want me to give you a sample?
Yes. Please.
Hey, boys, how you doing?
So is this actually a Tibetan tradition, I should ask?
No, I'm not Tibetan, I'm European.
Okay, but do Tibetan people do this?
No idea, but I just...
So, wait, you've
it's
just...
the moonshine of Tibetan throat shit singing. So if you saw a dog, like, for example, a little Jack Russell came and bounded up to you, it was pretty cute, what would you say to it?
Hello, little Jack Russell.
Wait, why?
Good fun. Well, the dog's howl. I can, you know, might as well howl to the dog.
Yeah, well, it's a fair point you make there. Why not? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Alana, good morning to you. What voice do you talk to your pet in?
Well, my family background's German, so we've always spoken to our cats in German, and I now do it to everybody else's cat as well, just out of habit.
So you assume that all cats speak German, I mean, which is fair enough because we often assume that they would speak English. What are you, so, you know, talk to your cat for us right now.
Oh, der liebe kleine Süße, was machst du denn da? Möchtest du was zum Essen?
Okay.
What did you say?
You cute little thing, what are you doing? Do you want something to eat?
Now, do you know German fluently any day, or is it just sort of litter box, purring? Are those the only words specific to cats that you know?
No, I'm pretty much fluent, yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Alana, for the call. If you've got a voice that you would like to share with us, 0439 757 555, you can text us or give us a call on the Tibetan throat singing hotline.
Yes, I am listening.
How many times I count the minutes?
Kingswood embracing their creeping for a Thursday morning at 28 minutes past 8. Alex Dyson's still laughing.
Just looking at these texts, like, people in front of their pets turn into absolute weirdos. Talking about what voice do you talk to your pet in, remembering the time where my late great cat Poo-Poo, I would speak to her in my Poo-Poo voice. Hello, Poo-Poo. What are you doing today? It just changes. It changes all the time. And you're so embarrassed to do it in front of other people.
I know. I can't believe that you're even doing it on air.
But you know, see your pet and it's natural. It comes out.
How long had you been talking to your pet Poo-Poo like that for?
A very many years. but here's texty. I speak with no accent to the cats, but always speak through really gritted teeth and put both hands either side of their face and rock them like a baby through gritted teeth. Another text. I don't talk to my dog in a voice, but I have a voice for my dog that I talk to other people in.
Oh, so you're the translator. Yeah, and then my dog came up to me and was like, oh,
We got a couple of people calling. Time for a couple of Wills here this morning. Will from Geelong, what's your dog's name? Yo, Will from Geelong.
Hello, Will from Geelong.
All right, Will's not wanting to chat to us. Let's go with Will from Raymond Terrace. Good morning, Will.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks, Will. Now you've got a dog?
Yeah, I do. It's my fiance's dog. I sort of adopted her, and now it's my dog. And, she talked to her in a weird voice, and so I kind of started doing it too, and now I can't help it.
Okay. Did it shock you in that moment when you opened your mouth to say hello to the dog and then it just came out that you were mimicking your girlfriend?
Yeah, basically, yeah, because okay. Quite a high voice for my voice, and my friends all laugh at me when I do it, but it's part of me now. So,
all right, so hit us with the voice. How would you speak to your dog?
Her name's Sadie, so I actually sing her songs, and I say, "What's a name? What's a name of Silverback?" That's her song.
So have you only got the one song for Sadie, or have you got a whole repertoire?
We've actually got a few. There's one called Fluffin' and Duffin'.
Oh, God.
All right,
can we
get a rendition, please?
Hit it with us.
All right. And Fluffin' and Duffin'. And basically, that's just in repeat.
And Fluffin' and Duffin'. All right, Will, thank you so much for the call. We'll catch you later.
You're welcome.
All right, Grace, you're 10 years old. What's your pet's name?
I have two. It's like one is a little kitten and one's a dog. And the dog's called Jimmy and my cat's called Cleo.
Okay, do you speak to them both in the same voice or do you have separate voices for them?
Separate voices.
All right, well, hit us with the voice that you talk to your dog with.
It's like his name's Jimmy and I call him, like, Jim Bones.
Okay.
And it's like Jim Bone, like... Jim Bones. Like, yeah.
Okay, now what about your cat?
It's like I'm beginning coins.
That's a bit of that's really very good. Janice from Friends. I don't know if you know the TV show Friends, Grace, but it sound like Janice comment. Bit of Nanny Fine in there.
Very, very good. Thanks for the call, Grace.
Yeah, that's okay.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, Ruby Jones is in next for some news headlines. Here's Banks, Matt and Alex, Fluffin' and Duffin' on Triple J.
And in cricket, Pakistan batsman Asad Shafiq says the team is determined to bounce back after losing its test series in New Zealand 2-0. Pakistan will take on Australia in a three-match series, which starts with a day-night test at the Gabba next week.
Thank you very much, Ruby Jones. Now, you know what we're about to ask
you. Yeah.
You've been listening.
No, I do not have a voice to talk to my best
liar!
Friend.
I bet you do, Ruby. I bet you
don't
do.
Don't lie, Ruby. We know you do.
Come on, Scoobs. What do you got?
I don't even have a pet.
Have you ever had a pet?
Yes.
Okay.
What voice did you talk to your pet in?
What was the pet's name?
Hey, Queenie.
I knew it. Queenie.
Queenie. Come on, Queenie.
Oh, very nice. What kind of animal was Queenie?
A Kelpie, a dog. Red Kelpie. Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Very yes,
nice.
No longer with us.
Oh. No. Neither is Poo-Poo. Poo-Poo has gone to a better place. But we had a little scotch whiskey with the family and left an extra glass for her when she left.
Oh.
Do dogs like scotch?
It was a cat.
Oh, cats. Do cats like scotch?
Yeah, it was Poo-Poo's favourite. Hey, Stevie. Steve, good morning to you from Lower Plenty.
G'day, how are you?
Good, thanks. Now, what type of pet do you have?
I have a Japanese Spitz.
Okay, Japanese Spitz. I'm not aware of that breed.
It's like a small Samoyed, fluffy little white thing.
I've got to tell you what, Spitz is a good starting point as a word for coming up with an excellent voice to communicate with.
So would people say that Spitz suits you, like when you guys are hanging out together?
No, okay. Absolutely not.
All right, well, I'd like to know how you talk to Spitz.
Yeah, so it starts sort of accusationally, like, Fleabag! You bloody Fleabag! And then I do a bit of Steely Dan. Such you don't lose that number. But I just repeat that line over and over again.
Is the dog going to lose enough? Why?
She gets psyched up. It's a pump-up song, you know?
Fair call. Thanks, Steve. Paige from Arizona in the States. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Oh, I'm going to miss you guys a lot.
Oh, thanks for tuning in. Why do you listen to us from Arizona?
I used to live in Australia, in Newcastle, actually, and I've been a big fan ever since. So we stream you guys from the States at work.
Oh, that's so cool. I can't believe that you're listening all the way over there.
So wait, are you about to do the voice you talk to your pet at a workplace?
Yes, on a recorded line on my work phone.
They're recording this for training purposes. Oh, no.
All right, well, we better hear. What kind of animal do you have?
Yep, I've got three small chihuahuas. One is the mother, and she had like five puppies, so we kept a few of them. When I get home at the end of the day, it's a really high-pitched voice.
Do you talk to all of the dogs the same way?
All of them, yeah.
Okay, so hit us. Imagine you've just walked through the door. They're all going nuts. What do you say?
Oh, my God, you guys, hello. How are you today? You look wonderful in your sweaters. Did you have a fantastic day?
What happens to people? What happens?
Matt, as someone who doesn't use a voice, what are you thinking with all of this?
I just don't know where these accents and these... It's just you're a different person all of a sudden.
I just imagine all the little chihuahuas jumping around as you walk through
God.
The door. So good. Thank you so much for joining us. And cheers for streaming us. We'll catch you later.
No problem. Miss you guys.
Miss Thanks, you too. Paige. Bye.
Ruby, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Stick with us. Stephen Stockwell wrapping up. A bit of a week in hack for you up next. After some Columbus, this is Say What You Want.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.